The poem that I'm going to start with before we get to the sermon is called "It Is Raining on the House of Anne Frank." This is by Linda Paston. It is raining on the house of Anne Frank and on the tourists herded together under the shadow of their umbrellas, on the perfectly silent tourists who would rather be somewhere else but who wait here on stairs so steep they must rise to some occasion high in the empty loft, in the quaint toilet, in the skeleton of a kitchen, or on the map, each of its arrows a barb of wire, with all the dates, the expulsions, the forbidding shapes of continents. And across Amsterdam, it is raining on the Van Gogh Museum, where we will hurry next to see how someone else could find the pure center of light within the dark circle of his demons. So to begin this morning's sermon, I want to share a short epigraph from Randall Jarrell's gorgeous, sublime children's book called The Animal Family. If you don't know The Animal Family, I highly encourage it. It's about an impossible family living a genuinely rich and fulfilling life on a remote island. And that family consists of a man who is a hunter, a mermaid, a bear, a lynx, and a little boy. And the epigraph reads, "Say what you like, but such things do happen. Not often, but they do happen." And so let's allow that epigraph to serve as the entry point for this sermon. And I would ask that you now take a moment and consider your personal relationship with the word impossible. The vast, it's a potent protean word. It's one of those words that manifests Sisyphus at the base of the mountain, staring intently at that massive boulder, and then looking up toward the mountaintop in the clouds. Impossible. It's one of those words that serves as a Rorschach test for an individual, a family, a community, a society, even a religion. And of the thousands of inspirational quotes that confront and leverage and play on the word impossible, my favorite impossible quote is from the poet Theodore Rethke. Quote, "What we need is more people who specialize in the impossible." And this quote is such a personal favorite that I actually had it printed on the back of my business card. I always loved handing out my business card, but I wouldn't have my contact information first. I would start with the quote. check this out. The quote is such a favorite that I actually hired a printer to print a little broadside of the poem. I think I printed 200 and I've given those away over the years. So impossible. Now the patron saint of impossible is, of course, that wacky and charismatic Don Quixote, one of the most incandescent characters in the literary canon, that indefatigable knight who traveled forward through the centuries on his exhausted horse and landed as a star on Broadway. And we now are going to insert a little singing into the sermon, and you can help, because we are going to sing the two verses of Dream the Impossible Dream. Okay? Just why not? We'll just get the blood running here. George, are you ready to pop those lyrics up? Oh my God, that was fantastic. Oh my God. I am going to do that every Sunday. We're just going to break out the Dream the Impossible Dream, no matter what the sermon topic is about. It's just like, put it in there. Wow. That was phenomenal. Thank you very much. You sounded great. And for years now, my own Quixotic request has, I have advocated that Doubting Thomas be named as a patron saint of Unitarian Universalism. because to my mind, doubt is part of the burbling dynamic core of this religious faith and practice. So let's this morning also nominate Don Quixote to the should be a patron saint of Unitarian Universalism list. Because to my mind, and listen close, the quest for impossible is also part of the burbling dynamic core of this faith and practice. And consider that line from the poet and novelist Brian Doyle. This is from his beautiful prose poem called Prayer for Sunday Morning, just a few lines. The Catholic Church isn't a huge corporation as much as it's a vast amalgam of small villages in which people hold hands against the dark and believe in the unbelievable. Isn't that wild and cool? Close quote. People hold hands against the dark and believe in the unbelievable. Isn't that wild and cool? And so in my home, on top of an antique glass-fronted bookcase, is my altar. And on that altar is a slender wooden carving of Don Quixote. His spine is arched back, with his bearded chin lifted as he stares off into the sky. Next to Don Quixote, on this altar, is a chipped plastic replica of Rodin's famous statue, The Thinker. The Thinker, seated, ponderous, spine curved toward the earth, and chin firmly resting on that powerful hand. Now, a third item on this altar is a small pair of porcelain hands, which were originally part of a small statue of praying hands, but one hand became unglued from the wooden base. And so I decided to leave the hands unpraying for the time being, let those hands sort of roam around and look for something to do, for some worldly work that they might accomplish. You know, I kind of like seeing a Leonard Cohen song in development right there, right? Praying hands unglued, wandering, what work today here pondering, this world as is to be, that sort of thing. Finally, there's a fourth object there that was, apologies to Leonard Cohen, finally a fourth object, and that is a pewter turtle shell. It's an empty turtle shell that a dear friend cast in his home foundry in Oregon. He found this turtle along an Oregon waterway, a dead turtle, and made the shell. So we have Don Quixote looking skyward. We have the Thinker looking earthward. We have praying hands unglued. And we have a turtle shell domed and empty. What else, you might ask, is on this idiosyncratic altar? There is a vintage wind-up metronome and a 100-year-old beer bottle from my hometown, cracked at the neck. Now, what's fantastic about this collection of objects, which was generally random until they sort of cinched together, they really started cinching together when I started thinking about this sermon, about Rethke's quote. And I let it swirl around in my mind and my heart. And in the morning light of my office, all of a sudden, Don Quixote caught my eye. And just like that, there it was like this DIY monument to the impossible. Dream, think, work, pray if you choose, protect yourself. Be aware that time can move fast or slow or stop altogether. And crack a beer every once in a while. It is a perfect plan for the impossible. And now let's bring that plan to this massive boulder awaiting all of us at the base of a majestic mountain, the sixth of our seven Unitarian Universalist principles, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Now that is the expressed, articulated, ambitious, visionary, audacious, and yes, I am going to say it, impossible dream of this religion. World community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Really? Really? So how are we doing? One need only go to this morning's paper to read about Gaza. You can go visit the 9/11 memorial, the Vietnam Memorial. You could tour concentration camps at Auschwitz and Dachau. You could visit the National Museum of Peace and for Peace and Justice, aka the National Lynching Museum, and be stunned into speechlessness, as in speechlessness. And then move deliberately from the curated and planned museums and monuments with their crisp exhibits and their idling tour buses and their gift shops and see what is around your world community at this very moment. You could go hang out for an afternoon at a makeshift homeless encampment under an I-5 overpass or in your local thicket. You could stare into the horrors of our racist prison industrial complex. You could go to a feedlot or a hog farm or a vast chicken plant. You could talk to that ragged mother outside Safeway holding that soggy cardboard sign that says, "My children are hungry." You could take a picnic lunch to the middle of a clear cut. You could try to find out where the worn tires from your hybrid car get dumped. You could make lemonade using tap water from Flint, Michigan. Or, if you don't want to leave the comfort of your middle-class home, you could spend a few sobering moments on the internet to become vertiginous at the depths and the intensities of the suffering and tragedy and injustice that this superating world has to offer. Now, this very Sunday, the list can go on and on and on. And I'm quite certain that you have your own personal, particular, painful, and urgent issues to add. Mental illness, the opioid crisis, white supremacists with automatic weapons, and the forced migrations the world over of impoverished people due to war, famine, violence, and climate change. So along with the UUA, with lobbying the UUA, that Doubting Thomas and Don Quixote as our patron saints, I also want to catalyze a loud and righteous uproar to insist that we add the word impossible to our sixth principle. The impossible goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. And side note here, I know the Article 2 conversation is going on, so there's a big discussion about what to put in and not put in, so I get that. And so I ask, how do you feel about that addition, that little edit, adding a word, that sober acknowledgement? How does the proposal make you feel when the stated goal of your precious religion is called out for what it actually is? Impossible. Are you pissed off? Provoked? Sobered? Energized? Challenged? Downhearted? Relieved? Inspired? Are you dreaming skyward like Don Quixote? Pondering earthward? Earthward like the thinker? Are you praying? Are you working feverishly? Are you becoming unglued? Are you crawling under that tough dome shell for a well-deserved snooze? Are you cracking a beer? I trust that you're feeling something. Because if you're not feeling something, then it's time to ask yourself, what are you doing taking a perfectly good Sunday morning in this sanctuary with people around you who, like their neighboring Catholics and Methodists and Lutherans and Baptists and Buddhists and Jews and Muslims, are choosing to hold each other's hand against the dark and believe in the unbelievable, albeit their own special theological stylings? Isn't that wild and cool? Now, while the vast majority of Unitarian Universalists blithely dismiss nonsensical religious hokum, it is undeniable that we gather together to help each other believe and work toward the possibility of the unbelievably impossible, a justice-drenched earth in the here and now. Now, this tough-minded, shoulder-to-stone religion is not explicit about heaven. It is not explicit about the big rock candy mountain to look forward to after you die. There is no rapture. within Unitarian Universalism. There's no facile escape hatch from the blistering issues in the here and now, only the blistering hard task of a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Whew. Tons and tons of hard work. Now, that principle alone proves why a place called heaven, away from this place, is a major selling point in many religions. And for modern Unitarian Universalists, an eternal resort called heaven, major cop-out. It's this world is what we have. This world is our construction, from the most intricate math equation to that shopping cart rattling down the street filled with cracked beer bottles. Now, that said, the Universalist branch of our religion is founded and fueled on universal salvation for everyone you see and everyone who has ever lived. And I take great comfort in that idea, that divine love is so profound, that supreme evil and measurable time, they vaporize in its presence. Divine love. And in my darker dreams, I wonder whether this beautiful belief might just be a beautiful, beautiful belief. And then we hold hands with fellow congregants and begin singing hymns against the dark. We sing a song about the impossible embedded within a sermon inside a sanctuary. And with those hands and those hymns, with human courage screwed up against the impossible, we have the radical earthbound ambition to make heaven here on earth for everyone. Not just the chosen, not just the saved or the rich or the people who believe or behave like us. And pay special attention to those final two words of the sixth principle. For all. The impossible goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. That is an example of radical inclusion. And like it or not, our sixth principle is the steely-eyed mission statement of Unitarian Universalism, nourished by that quote from Rethke. What we need is more people who specialize in the impossible. And this brings us to another object on the altar, the wind-up metronome, which can mark time as fast or slow or moderate or not at all. That beat, 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 beat reminds us that time is embedded within every impossible. And more often than not, we need to slip the bounds of our usual time frames to realize that while we're living examples of seconds and hours and days, we are also right now beating our warm hearts inside a thing called the 200-year present. Now, from where your metronomic heart is beating right now, think of the birth year of the oldest person that you have ever met, that you have ever known. And now consider the youngest child that you met this year, and imagine their lifespan moving out 80 or 90 years into the future. Now, using these two people that you know or have known, even using the elders and the children who are here in this building right now, we can personally inhabit a time span of 2 centuries. Now, I guarantee that most people in this room have a present that touches the late 1800s and will touch the 2100s. Now, a lot can get accomplished in 2 centuries. For people who believe in the unbelievable, especially for those who hold hands with others and decide that they have the time and the quixotic vision to do something. Now, on first glance, the bright glowing word in that Rethke quote is impossible. Though to my mind, the operative word is specialize. And with that word, we courageously move deeper into our beloved and radical religious tradition and actually reform our religious practice. Specialize in the impossible. You're a Unitarian Universalist? What do they believe in? What do they do? Oh, we specialize in the impossible. And the act of specializing is to be massively present inside this discrete heartbeat, 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 and the 200-year present. When we specialize in the impossible, we work in the here and now, tending to the timely needs of our elders and our children, and we recall that inspirational title from this incredibly progressive book called The Impossible Will Take a Little While. Great title for a book. The Impossible Will Take a Little While, which hits the nail on the head. Impossible will take a little while. And in our 200-year present, it is our religious calling to become the living embodiment of that little while. Whether you dream or think or pray or crawl under a turtle shell, time only exists within you. Think about that. Time only exists within you, and it dies when you die. You are the little while who specializes in the impossible. Which brings us finally this morning to a short and sacred poem by W.S. Merwin called Place. The concept and the reality of place was very central to Merwin's work, to his life, and to his art. In the 1970s, he bought a couple dozen acres of remote agricultural wasteland on the Hawaiian island of Maui, and he began planting palm trees. Day after day, he would wake, meditate, write, read, and plant palm trees. Day after day, day after heartbeat day, wake, meditate, write, read, plant, wake, meditate, write, read, plant. Wake, meditate, write, read, plant. While the metronome marked the beats through the day, week, month, year, and decade, while the ozone hole grew like wildfire, he would wake, meditate, write, read, and plant. While the glaciers melted like wildfire, the wars raged like wildfire, he wrote like wildfire against environmental degradation and every war he ever lived through, he would wake, meditate, write, read, and plant. And all the while, the palms rooted, the palms grew, they lived, they died, and what was once a denuded scrubland transformed into this dense and vibrant palm forest, safe to say, palm jungle. He buried his beloved dogs in the forest. He buried his beloved wife in the forest. And now he is buried in the forest. His personal little while, complete. And his beloved palms, growing so thick that the overstory touches frond to frond to frond to frond to frond to frond, echoing the congregations throughout the world this Sunday, who are holding hands against the dark. And one of the poems that emerged from the practice of waking, meditating, writing, reading, and planting is a clarion call to those people who are drawn to specialize in the impossible. So let's hold this poem close in our hearts as sacred text to nourish those who specialize in the impossible. Very short poem called Place, by W.S. Merwin. On the last day of the world, I would want to plant a tree. What for? Not the fruit. The tree that bears the fruit is not the one that was planted. I want the tree that stands in the earth for the first time, with the sun already going down, and the water touching its roots, in the earth full of the dead, and the clouds passing one by one over its leaves. We have have much work to do. The impossible is poised and expectant for each and all of our brilliant little whiles. Please keep holding hands, go forth, and specialize. Amen.